recently that our world seems to be growing more chaotic. Have you noticed recently people that might you come into contact with, friends or family, that their lives have become increasingly chaotic? Have you noticed in yourself that as the world is chaotic, people in your life, their lives might be chaotic, that it creates chaos in your own life? In the beginning, scriptures tell us the world was formless and void. The earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the earth. Darkness. Chaos. This formless and void isn't just nothing's happened. It's just, it's unproductive. It's not functioning. That's chaos. And what God does to darkness and chaos, He speaks into it. And He creates order. He creates function. He creates light. And when He does those things, at the end of that process, He looks at everything He took that was from went from chaos to His order. It creates peace. And He says, ah, now this is good. This is good. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus refers to a prophecy. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way to the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. So whenever chaos comes to that which God wants to have peace, to have order, to have function, He speaks into it light and life. And when people grasp onto that light and that life, it is good. And in that we can have peace. And by sending Jesus to this earth in darkness, in chaos, when things that were functioning are no longer functioning appropriately, He is the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Light. And it is to Him that we sing His praise. And when it says Jesus has come into this land of darkness, what He does, it says He preaches repentance. For the kingdom of heaven has come. The kingdom of peace. And this repentance He's calling us to is to turn away from the chaos, turn away from the darkness, and turn to His light. And in doing so, you will find peace. And it is to that theme that we sing and we read Scripture.
First passage, Isaiah chapter 9, prophecy. Prophecy was given to people in a time of chaos to give them hope. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and holding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
To us a child of hope is born, to us a son is given. Him shall the tribes of earth obey, him all the hosts of heaven. Him shall the tribes of earth obey, him all the hosts of heaven. His name shall be the Prince of Peace forevermore adored. The Wonderful, the Counselor, the Great and Mighty Lord. The Wonderful, the Counselor, the Great and Mighty Lord. His power increasing still shall spread, His reign no end shall know. Justice shall guard His throne above, and peace abound below. Justice shall guard His throne above, and peace abound below. His name is Wonderful. His name is Wonderful. His name is Wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is Wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's the Great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is Wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
Another prophecy from Micah, talking about the ruler from Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one for me who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old and from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shine the
telling of the birth of Jesus to Mary, a teenage girl who I'm sure was quite taken aback by this message from an angel. Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her.
I was thinking about a song to go with this, and I picked a song about faith. We're talking about a young lady not too much different from some of the young ladies over here in the first seat up in the front. Someone very young, getting a very unusual request from God. So we'll sing, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow.
I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know
going to happen. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Again, we have two songs that deal with faith. When God asks us to do something that's very strange, very unusual, contrary sometimes to what we think is in our best interest, we have to know that he is able to deliver on what he asks us to do.
He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle it.
anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be. I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living my faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe in its sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of light, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From a firm safe in a sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm.
Verses 1-7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
I think the key word here in many different ways is the time had come. The time of prophecy to be fulfilled had come. The time for Jesus' birth had come. Gentle Mary laid her child lowly in a manger. There He lay the undefiled to the world a stranger. Such a babe in such a place, can He be the Savior? As a saved of all the race, who have found His favor. Gentle Mary laid her child lowly in a manger. He is still the undefiled, but no more a stranger. Son of God of humble birth, beautiful the story. Praise His name in all the earth, hail the King of glory. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, the Lord.
Angel appears to the shepherds, and to me that's always kind of interesting that this announcement was made to shepherds and not to the kings or leaders of the world at that time. Luke 2:8-20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left him and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
I thought it's very appropriate in a way that the shepherds were notified, because Jesus was to be the shepherd of people. That was to be one of his major callings. Silent night, holy night.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Well, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son.
I thought it interesting that the Magi in the East recognized the birth of a king, but yet the people in his own home country did not. They had received the prophecies. They knew the place of the birth. They knew even the date, but it completely passed them up. They didn't recognize it all, but yet these faraway people did. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, lower us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The wise men came to worship the holy child that day. They found him in a manger, asleeping on the hay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light to those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way into the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawns.
givest thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful star, the hope of light, guiding the pilgrim through the night, over the mountain till the break of dawn. And into the light of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. O give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good, the blessed. Yonder in glory when the crown is won. For Jesus now the star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. O give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Jesus is taken to Jerusalem for the purification rite and circumcision. Luke 2, 21 through 40. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice in keeping what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people in Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken up, that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to him at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him.
Let's sing Joy to the World as the people who found their joy in the temple.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let every savor king, let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. Of vales and floods, rocks, hills, and plains. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. astounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the crown. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations proud. The glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
A joy to the world as Simeon was waiting in the temple, in a world that was awaiting for things to be made right. One of the things that we hear from Simeon is he was promised that he would see the Lord's Messiah. This promise was fulfilled by proof of this couple bringing this child to have all the rights taken care of. He was going to be a light unto the world. And because of this, because Simeon believed what God told him, because he was shown that God was faithful, he could do nothing but lift up his voice and praise God that what he was told came true. And now he could go in peace. Think about all of the people who God was able to work through for this Prince of Peace to come to a chaotic world and give hope to people who are hopeless. Think about yourself. How is it that God might be using you in his story to bring about peace for other people? One of the things that Simeon said is that this child would be a sign. It was like a signpost directing to the light or to the darkness. Which way are you going to go? He says, this is the way to light. He was going to be able to show people where their hearts were. And he says it was caused the rising and falling of many because some would not want to look at the sign, wouldn't believe in the sign, and would go off into darkness and chaos. Other people would see the sign and believe the sign and praise that the sign was there, that there was a hope beyond this world. And they would follow this to its end, to glory with God. And the reason why this son came to earth, abandoning that which was glorious, coming into the darkness, is so he could lead us out of darkness into light. Where is your heart in this program, this history, this work of God? It will cause the rising and falling of many. And he says to Mary, "And the sword will pierce your heart also." Because just as we have hopes and dreams of what this world should be or what this world should provide, it just might not happen. And imagine when Mary was thinking of her son being Messiah. He was going to be king. She wasn't thinking about God on a throne in heaven. She was thinking a king on a throne in Jerusalem where all things are made right. And what does she come to find is a son hanging on a cross, bleeding from back and side. That her heart too would be pierced. What is she going to believe? That in the midst of all the chaos that was going on in her life, at the end of her son's life, this promised son's life, would she be able to maintain this faith in this promise that God would redeem this son, vindicate this son, and set this son on his rightful throne? And all the people throughout history who had to believe the promise, but many people didn't see the proof. But we have the proof written for us in the text of God's word through people like us who have spoken about this good news to people in darkness. God wants to use you just like he used other people in the world. Will you allow yourself to be a sign? In Colossians, we're told that Paul says, I've become a servant of the commission of God that he has given me to present to you a word of God in its fullness. The mystery has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but now it's disclosed to you, to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I hope that you go out of here realizing the part you can play in this glorious good news of the kingdom of God, because it's available to you to embrace and to sing praise to God, but it's also for you to embrace and to pour out, to be a sign to others that there is a better way out of the darkness, out of the chaos, into structure, into function, into peace. Whenever you feel the chaos starting to seep in, I hope and I pray that you will remember the good news of what this week reminds us of, that Jesus would leave heaven for us so that he could take us back with him. And it cost he and the Father everything for you to get there. And he is so glad that you're willing to come along. But you too, be a light in the world as others have been a light to you. Let's pray. Our Father God, we are so thankful for what you have done for us. Father God, as your children, we are so thankful for what you've done in us. You've transformed our darkness into your light. You've placed your spirit in us. Help us, Father, to not fear. Help us, Father, not to turn back. Help us, Father, to be bold. Help us, Father, to have wisdom on knowing how to engage a world that is just in chaos, that is angry, that is just wanting some peace, wanting some hope. And Father, we who oftentimes find ourselves just not knowing where to turn, help us to remember that you have called us to turn to you, that you will guide us in our way into hope, into peace. And we thank you for Jesus that makes this all possible. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and sing, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear."
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. It shone the earth goodwill to men from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music flows o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains drive in on hovering wings, and ever o'er its babble sounds the blessed angels sing. Yet when the woods are hushing deep, when tones are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look up for glad and hope, and house comes swiftly on the wing. I'll rest beside a weary road and hear the angels sing. Yet with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angels' strains have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And men at war with men hear not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush, you noisy men of strife, and hear the angels sing. Nor though the days are hastening on by prophecy of old, when the angels years shall come the time foretold, when those of heaven and earth shall mourn the ancient splendor seen, and the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing. Lead me to some solitary day. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way.
Dear God, thank you so much for allowing us to be together today, to take this time just to contemplate the depths of your love, Holy God. I pray, God, that you allow us just to better understand what we heard today. This plan of yours to have your Son leave heaven, Holy God, and dwell among men. I fear that we will probably not be able to understand the full depth of what that means until we see the glories of heaven, Holy God, and what he gave on up. But open our hearts, God, to again to understand this somewhat better. God, I pray as we head into this week, Holy God, that you can quiet our hearts and our minds from all the noise that is around us, Holy God, and allow us to contemplate upon these things. Help us, God, to take in to enjoy those simple things, God, that you will interject during this week, the time with family and friends, Holy God, and again, to continue to be that light. God, we know as we've read the scripture today that you have put people in scripture to take and work through, God, and to bring your message of hope throughout the world, Holy God, and you continue to use us and to call us to be that message, and I pray, Holy God, that we cannot fail in doing that, Holy God. As we reflect, as this year comes to an end, help us, God, again, to quiet our minds and look at our relationship with you, Holy God. To reflect upon those things, God, that have gotten in the way, Holy God, and have separated us from you, God. You call us, God, to take and put you above everything else, to have no equal, Holy God. And God, I pray that we look at those things that have taken and separated us from you. God, again, thank you so much for this time. We pray for those that are sick, God, who cannot be here, that you would watch over them. We pray, God, for those that are traveling. Please watch over them, Holy God, and bring them safely back to us. Thank you again for this time, and we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. You have a seat.